Welcome back to another episode of Really Robots, The Future Is Now. I am your host, Tommy J. Houseman, and today we're going to dig just a little bit deeper from the past episode. We're going to ask our AI guest to really talk a little bit more about what's going on right now, and our future episodes are going to try to be a little more nuanced and dig into very specific things, but we need to talk a little more about the broad aspects of what's going on right now and how that is going to be applied to the future. So the prediction models out there, the rise of humanoid robots, is predicted to be a $24 to $200 trillion industry. The humanoid robot industry could reshape global economies by 2034 if this projection of $24 to $200 trillion industry comes to fruition. Automation in manufacturing, healthcare, logistics, personal services. It will drive this growth, and it will lead to significant impacts on labor markets and industries. I think we've seen this recently with the East Coast dock strike. One of their contingencies, which they did not want to let up on, was a guarantee not to be replaced by automation. Well, I think that is a very valid concern, and they're on the forefront of this. They're seeing it happening in real time, that lots of jobs continually to be replaced by large automation robot type machines. And now with humanoid robots coming on to the scene, their jobs are even more in danger, and they will be one of the first ones replaced. They just ended their strike, but in my opinion, they're not going to have jobs very much longer, especially if all of these things come true that we're talking about right now. So the key assumptions for this growth is productivity gains. So if robots enhance productivity, which they will, they're considered to be able to replace 4.5 humans per robot. So that could cut labor costs up to 90% in sectors like manufacturing. So labor cost reduction, replacing human workers with robots, could redirect trillions from the global market. And that could be put into robotics. The affordability, the cost of humanoid robots is expected to drop, making them more accessible across industries. These are the three things that really need to happen in order for this to come to fruition in 10 years. And they have to put these things in action. Now, it's not very hard to put them in action because the value is there. It's already there. They just need to make sure the robots can do what they say. And I've seen some of these robots and they can do it. So we already have robot factory in the United States in Salem, Washington, creating the Digi, 10,000 of those a year. So it's already begun. So here's what it looks like if we project this out. In 2026, 2 years from now, 1 to 2 million global humanoid robots in the workforce, primarily in industrial sectors. The economic impact would be $1 to $5 trillion. That's a good boost to start this whole thing, right? So in 2029, 5 years from now, 10 to 30 million global robots, expanding into service industries, economic impact, $5 trillion. I think service industries is going to come a lot faster. Actually, I already know it's going to come faster because it's already happened. There was just an order for 30,000 robots to be put into service for kitchen to produce food. So that's going to happen a lot faster, most likely. 2034, 10 years from now, 100 to 500 million robots globally, automating a wide range of tasks, economic impact, $24 to $200 trillion. So this is the path, you know, this is an estimated path. How does this work mathematically? So if we're going to have a $24 to $200 trillion industry in 10 years, mathematically, what does that look like? And this is kind of the math that I've come up with. So what would the labor market impact be? By 2034, robots could replace up to 50% of manual jobs, reducing labor costs to 70 to 90%. This will increase profitability, but cause a significant job displacement, reshaping the global workforce. So we need to have people in place in our government that are going to understand the need for universal basic income when this comes around, which is going to be soon. So we need to really consider that when we're going to the voting polls on November 5th. So the role of universal basic income as robots replace jobs, UBI may become necessary to sustain economic stability and prevent social unrest. It could ensure displaced workers retain purchasing power, preventing economic collapse. And I think that is very much what we're looking at. So the humanoid robot industry will transform economies and societies. While automation will reduce human labor, solutions like UBI are crucial to managing the disruptions and ensuring basic needs are met. As robots become integrated into daily life, society must adapt to this new reality. And frankly, I believe this new reality is coming a lot faster than we are aware. I think I could be wrong. And I want to tell everybody I could be wrong. Something could happen. Something could stop it. Somebody could pass a law. It could change. But as of right this second, this, what I'm talking about and what we are talking about and all my research is pointing to, this is happening, and it's happening quick. The upcoming podcast from our AI guest, it delves into how robots are already changing industries today, like hospitality and healthcare, highlighting their role in augmenting human capabilities, and they're already filling those labor gaps. So stay tuned right now to learn more about the future of work and the role of robots in our lives today, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now.
All right, everybody, welcome. Today, we're going to be diving into something kind of wild, something that feels like it's straight out of science fiction, but it's actually happening right now. We're talking about robots.
Yeah.
Not just like robots in factories, though, but robots everywhere.
Right.
Like, picture this. You go to a restaurant and a robot brings you your food, or you check into a hotel and a robot like checks you in, speaks like a dozen languages.
That's happening?
Yeah. I mean, that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And this isn't some distant future. This is all happening right now. So to help us kind of unpack all of this, break it down, we have Elad Inbar, CEO of Robot Lab, a company that's really like on the front lines of bringing robots into our daily lives. Elad, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I think like when a lot of people think about robots, you know, maybe they think of like C-3PO or the Terminator.
You're right.
But the reality is like most robots today, they're not doing those things. It's a lot more practical.
Yes.
What does the like robot landscape actually look like right now?
So the robots that we see today, most of them, are really designed to perform very specific tasks. And they're more practical in nature. We see them a lot. In places like warehouses, in logistics, manufacturing, healthcare.
We were talking about like delivery robots.
Absolutely.
That's like a really obvious example, right?
Yeah, those are becoming increasingly common, especially in urban areas.
And even like, you know, robot vacuums, like people are used to that. You know, that's like an early version of this.
Right. They kind of paved the way in a way. You know, people getting used to having robots in their homes.
Yeah. And it's interesting because like one of the narratives around this is that like robots are going to take all the jobs. But it seems like, at least right now, they're kind of stepping in to fill these gaps where, frankly, like businesses are really struggling to find workers.
You're absolutely right. We're seeing massive labor shortages in a variety of sectors. This is across the board, you know, restaurants, hospitality, transportation, logistics.
Everywhere you turn, it seems like help wanted.
Exactly. And it's not always as simple as people not wanting to work, you know. The pandemic, for example, had a huge impact on the labor landscape.
Sure. It really shifted things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's almost like this weird Whipple effect where, you know, people who were in those entry level jobs a few years ago, they've moved on. They've gained experience. Now they're looking for different things.
Right. And the younger generation entering the workforce now, they have different expectations.
Like they grew up with the internet.
Exactly. They're used to flexibility, remote work, the traditional like entry level jobs.
Yeah.
Not as appealing.
Yeah, so you've got robots kind of stepping in to fill that void. And like, we're seeing some really interesting applications. I mean, you mentioned healthcare.
Yeah, there's some exciting stuff happening there.
Like, there are these robots, like Pepper is one of them, that are being used to like help dementia patients.
It's amazing, right? They can interact with patients, show photos, have basic conversations.
And like, it's not replacing human interaction, but it's like providing this extra layer of support and companionship.
Exactly. Especially when, you know, there aren't enough caregivers available.
And I think like that's a really important point to emphasize, right? Like, at least at this stage, we're not talking about robots replacing humans.
Right. It's about collaboration.
Yeah. It's about robots and humans working together.
Augmenting human capability.
Yeah. Like, there was even, I read this report about how, like, robots were actually helping restaurant servers earn more in tips.
Oh, really?
Which seems kind of counterintuitive.
It does on the surface.
Yeah. Like, you would think, oh, the robot's taking the job, but it's actually
like, it frees them up.
Yeah. Like, if robot's handling the, like, running back and forth to the kitchen, and the server can actually spend more time with the customer.
Exactly. Provide better service.
Which leads to better tips.
Makes sense.
It's fascinating. Okay, so we've got robots making our lives easier, maybe even boosting those tips. But when we talk about these big tech revolutions, we got to talk about Elon Musk.
Of course, yeah.
He's jumping right into this with the Tesla bot, and like always, he's making these huge claims
right
about what it can do.
Yeah, some pretty bold visions there.
Some analysts are even saying Tesla could make more money from robots than cars at some point.
It's interesting to think about, right? I mean, if you look at it from a purely economic standpoint, the cost savings for businesses, it's significant.
Right. Like, if these robots could even do, like, the tasks of a minimum wage worker, the numbers are huge.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential there.
There's this one analyst, Cern Basher, he put together this whole model, and he was basically saying, like, if Tesla can produce a humanoid robot,
right,
even at a price that's, like, you know, within reason,
yeah,
the profit potential is just massive.
Yeah, and it's not just about selling the robots either.
Right.
They could easily do like a subscription service.
Interesting.
Rent them out to businesses.
Like robots as a service.
Exactly. Yeah. Recurring revenue. It's a whole different ballgame.
It's wild. And like, so far we've been talking about like physical tasks, right? But with AI getting so good, like large language models, these robots could be doing like customer service.
Absolutely. Data analysis, even creative work.
Creative work.
There are already AI systems generating music, art, even writing scripts.
Yeah. See, this is where things get like kind of freaky, right?
It's understandable, right? Big changes can be unsettling.
If robots can do all that, what happens to like jobs?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
The trillion-dollar question.
Yeah, you're right. Trillion. It's a huge question we have to grapple with as a society. And it's not an easy answer. There's a lot of factors.
It's not just as simple as robots are going to take all the jobs, though, right?
Absolutely not. It's much more nuanced than that.
Right.
Some experts argue that, yeah, robots might displace some jobs, but they'll also create new ones, jobs we haven't even thought of yet.
I mean, look at the internet, right?
Exactly.
Like, go back to the early 90s.
Right. Nobody could have predicted social media managers, app developers.
Right. The entire internet economy, basically.
The whole new world out there.
But there's also this fear, right?
Sure, yeah.
That this time it's different.
Okay.
That things are moving so fast
that
a lot of people are going to be left behind.
It's a valid concern.
And that's where you get these ideas like universal basic income, right?
The UBI, yeah. It's gaining a lot of traction lately.
Basically, just give everyone money.
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that. But essentially, the idea is that everyone gets a regular payment, regardless of whether they have a job or not.
Right, like a safety net.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang, during his presidential run, he really brought it into the mainstream.
Yeah, he was a big proponent of that.
He argued it would be essential, especially with automation on the rise. And now you have cities, even countries, experimenting with UBI pilot programs.
It's really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch.
And then there's the other idea, the robot tax.
Yes, taxing the robots.
Like companies using robots got to pay up.
The idea being that if companies are reaping huge benefits from using robots, they should contribute to a system that supports those who might be negatively impacted.
Right. Kind of like a way to balance the scales.
Exactly. To make sure the benefits of this technology are shared more broadly.
So it sounds like we're kind of standing on the edge of this like massive change.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time.
Like huge opportunities, but also some like
Big questions.
Big questions, yeah.
A lot of uncertainty.
So, Elad, like, from your perspective, you're, you know, deep in this world of robots. How do we even begin to, like, navigate this future where it's not just us, it's us and robots, like, everywhere?
Well, I think the key is to be proactive. We can't just kind of sit back and wait to see what happens.
Right. Got to be ready.
We need to be thinking now about how we adapt, how we prepare ourselves, how we make sure that this technology benefits everybody.
So, like, what can people actually do? Like, what can I do to get ready for a world where, you know, I'm probably going to be working alongside a robot at some point?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, nobody has all the answers. But I think one thing that's really important is focusing on the skills that robots are not good at.
You're talking about those, like, uniquely human skills.
Exactly. Things like creativity, critical thinking, problem solving. These are things that, at least for now, are really hard to program into a machine.
Right. It's not like we're all going to be coding robots tomorrow.
Maybe some people, but not everyone.
But it's more about, like, we need to be good at the things that robots aren't.
Exactly. Those are the skills that will be valuable no matter what.
And it's not even just about, like, being good at our own thing, but, like, we're going to have to work with these robots, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the workplaces of the future are going to look a lot different.
So we need to be ready to, like,
collaborate.
Elaborate, yeah.
We need to be comfortable interacting with robots, understanding what they can do and what we can do better.
It's almost like this weird dance we're going to have to learn, right?
In a way, yeah. But it's a dance that could lead to amazing things.
It makes you realize, like, learning, it never stops, does it?
Never. The pace of change is only getting faster.
So we got to be ready to, like,
keep learning.
Keep learning, yeah. Like, our entire lives.
Lifelong learning. That's the key.
Well, Elad, this has been incredible. Seriously, thank you so much for, like, opening our eyes to all of this.
My pleasure. I'm really glad to be here.
It's a lot to process, but it's also, like, really exciting in a way, you know?
Absolutely. The future is full of possibilities.
And I think that's a good place to leave it. You know, for our listeners, we've been talking about all these wild possibilities, but, like, here's something to think about. If you could have your own robot, like, right now, what would you want it to do? Like, how would that change your life? It's something to think about, right? Cause this future. It's closer than we think. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back soon with even more explorations of, you know, all the crazy stuff happening in our world.